it's a great credit to him. I mean, you know, he had opportunities to go all kinds of places, and I think it makes you feel good that he wants to come back to an organization like we have, and, you know, the coaches, George Edwards and Adam, and, you know, the things that they do, and be around, you know, the guys that are in our locker room, the Eric Hendricks and, you know, Donnell and Harry and, you know, all those guys. So the more that we can keep this group together and get guys back like Shamar, I think is a good thing for us, for this franchise, for this organization.
Hey, everyone, welcome in. It's another edition of the Wobcast. I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw, coming to you from the TCO Performance Center in Eagan. That was Vikings head coach Mike Zimmer leading us into today's episode of the Wobcast, talking about me. Just kidding. Talking about Shamar Stephan and Anthony Barr.
That's right.
Although,
big day.
If he said those things about me, I'd feel really good.
I was about to say, you wish he talked to
you. Yeah, you know, I'm a core guy, and Harrison Smith likes me and wants me to get back to work. Yeah, well, he wasn't talking about me, but he was talking about Anthony Barr and Shamar Stephan. The Vikings re-sign Anthony Barr, and they bring back defensive tackle Shamar Stephan. Those are the two leading news items surrounding the Minnesota Vikings in the first few days of free agency. So we're going to talk about that and a lot more in today's episode of the Wobcast. We're going to hear from former Vikings linebacker Chad Greenway. We will hear from Barr and Stephan and some other Vikings dignitaries. And, of course, we'll get to some of your mail later on in the show. To start things out, though, let's bring in producer and co-host Chris Corso. What's up, man?
What's going on, Wobby? We had a busy, busy day. It was nice to, like, get back to posting a ton of stuff on Vikings.com and our platforms and have some news come out of here. And that's two Vikings, two very familiar faces coming back to the team.
Well, it's interesting because everyone knows that the Vikings did not have copious amounts of cap space coming into free agency. And with that being the case, it was expected that the Vikings would not be newsmakers in free agency. But leave it to Rob Brzezinski and Rick Spielman to surprise you.
That's right.
And the Vikings did indeed make a big splash in free agency because they were able to re-sign Anthony Barr. And this was a dramatic situation because it looked as though Barr would leave the Vikings via free agency to sign with the New York Jets. That changed suddenly, and the man who broke the news was NFL Media's Mike Garofalo, a friend of the program here at VEN. We've had him on our air many times. And Mike did a good job of sticking with this story and then telling the folks, not just in Minnesota, but nationally, that there's been a change in the Anthony Barr sweepstakes and the winner was going to be the Minnesota Vikings. Here's how Garofalo did it.
Yeah, when we throw these things out in this negotiating window, Cole, we always say these are not official until the league year opens. That's tomorrow. And when that happens, Anthony Barr, the linebacker whom many reported last night would be a Jet, will be a Viking once again. Barr has decided he will remain in Minnesota, where he has played his entire career, rather than joining the Jets. We will see what the numbers come in at here. But obviously, Barr felt extremely comfortable in Minnesota, wants to remain there, wants to remain a part of a defense, really, that's done a nice job of keeping their own talent there. And Barr was the one last year. They did a bunch of contract extensions. They could not get him done before he got to free agency, before he got to this negotiating period. The Jets really wanted to be strong for him, to have him come in and be an edge rusher for them, something he really hasn't done a whole lot of in Minnesota. We'll see maybe if that changes going forward. But Barr intends to re-sign with the Vikings to remain in Minnesota. Plot twist.
Plot twist is right, and a good one for the Minnesota Vikings and for Vikings fans. And for Chrissy and yours truly, we loved it. We loved the news. I mean, we heard the news, Chris. We were in the office.
That's right.
We sit 5 feet from each other. That Barr is signing with the Jets, and we're like bummed out. And then not long after that, Barr is back. So it was a good day for those of us in the Vikings covenant.
I want to talk about my personal experience.
Oh, yeah. I bet you have some. Go ahead.
So I am obviously a born and bred New York, and I have a lot of friends who are big-time Jets fans. I used to be one myself. Obviously, now I'm with the purple and gold here Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
So a couple days ago, I get all these texts from friends saying, who's this guy Anthony Barr? We're so excited. We're so pumped. We can't wait. And That changed big time.
Right.
Then my group texts were lighting up with, we hate this guy. F this, F that, blah, blah, blah. I don't want to say these words on our podcast here, but they were not happy with Anthony Barr.
Right.
Because they felt insulted. They know how to the losing feeling there in New York as of late, and this did not make them happy.
Well, there's a long line of Vikings burning the Jets on certain things like this, like Antoine Winfield going way back in the day. Antoine Winfield,
Kirk Cousins
last year, Anthony Barr this year. We'd like to thank the Jets for helping whatever role they had in us getting Brett Favre. Following the 2008 season, that worked out for us too. So,
very true.
Vikings, Vikings Jets battles in terms of personnel have not always gone the way of gangrene, but
I'll take it these days. I'm happy.
Yeah. So anyway, we're joking around and we're in a good mood, but Anthony Barr was not on Monday. This Anthony Barr said was one of the worst days of his life. Anthony Barr explains why that is the case.
Yeah, Monday. I thought Monday was gonna be a fun day. Monday was one of the worst days, my life. Really, it was trying to figure everything out. I was on the phone all day with my agent, my mom, just going back and forth, calling friends, teammates. It was a crazy day, and I just followed my heart. I did what I wanted to do at the end of the day, I'm happy with it, and I feel so much better than I did, 48, 72 hours ago.
Did that feel like the college recruiting process for you?
Oh no, it was way worse. I'm serious. It was terrible. It was terrible, but it's over, so I'm happy.
Why do you call it one of the worst days of your life?
Just because I feel like it was like a lot of just talk. I don't like talking on the phone, and I feel like it was like a lot of drama. I'm not really into all that. And I don't know. I had to make a life choice. It's my life, and it was a big decision. So that's why.
All right. So things I've learned. We'll stop making light of the Barr situation because it was an awful day for him, even though he's happy to be here. So we'll get off that. And I'm not going to call Anthony Barr. I'm going to text.
There you go. He does not like speaking on the phone.
No, he doesn't want to be on the phone.
He made that pretty clear yesterday.
Yeah. He does like speaking to us in person, though. You got some sound from the Barr interview we did, right?
Yep. Okay. We did an exclusive interview with these two guys yesterday, so you can only hear that here on Vikings.com and our platforms.
Well,
and,
let's share some of it.
Yeah, let's do it.
Our interview with Anthony Barr from TCO Studios.
I think you're excited for two things. I'm going to bring both of them up right now. Number one, I bet you're excited to be back in front of Vikings fans at US Bank Stadium.
Absolutely.
Right? Looking forward
Absolutely.
To that?
I mean, it's I played in a lot of stadiums, it's hard to beat. U.S. Bank, the energy, just the way it's built, a very fan-friendly environment, and they show up every week. So I'm happy I'm not going to miss that.
Yep, U.S. Bank Stadium is where you'll put up all the big stats, which you've done throughout your career.
Sure.
But I bet you're also excited to go somewhere where you don't put up a bunch of stats, but you still do a lot of work, and that's outside here practicing with your teammates. You
Absolutely.
Excited to get back with them?
Absolutely. Like I said earlier, that was what it came down to is. Who do I want to go to work with every day? Who's going to make it enjoyable? And who do I want to sacrifice and go through trials and tribulations with? And it's the guys that we have in the locker room, a great group of men that are all goal-oriented, like-minded in the term that we want to win, we want to be successful, and we work hard. So, we have a recipe for success, and we just got to make it happen.
Yep, and this Vikings defense has been making it happen, Chris, since Barr was drafted in the first round of the 2014 NFL Draft. In fact, Anthony Barr was Mike Zimmer's first draft pick.
That's right, 2014.
Yeah, as head coach of the Minnesota Vikings. He was number 9 overall in 2014. In fact, Shamar Stephen was also taken in that draft class in the 7th round, and we're going to talk more about Shamar in a few minutes here. But that was Anthony Barr's first season with the Vikings in 2014, and he had a good season that year, and he's had many good seasons since. How many Pro Bowls for Anthony Barr?
4 in a row in his 5 seasons in Minnesota. 71 starts. I mean, he's been about as consistent of a player that Mike Zimmer has had since he's been here. 309 total tackles, according to team stats, 31 tackles for loss, 13.5 sacks, an interception, and 7 forced fumbles. I remember one that just sticks out. When he was running behind Matt Ryan the Atlanta Falcons and he bashed the ball.
No, Tevin Coleman.
Was it? Oh, it was Tevin Coleman?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, it was Tevin
Coleman. You caught him.
Yeah.
He got cut. Barr got cut.
So he caught a running back, not a quarterback.
Yeah, so Barr got cut at the line of scrimmage. Yep. He was blocked and on the ground. I think it was Tevin Coleman, got around the edge, got around the corner, and was literally...
I got to go back and look at
he
that.
He was sprinting down the field. Tevin Coleman. I'm pretty sure it was Tevin Coleman. And Barr gets up and runs him down and punches the ball out.
Very athletic play, and that's when it was like, oh my gosh, this guy can do some special things.
Barr had a forced fumble of Austin Seferian Jenkins of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as a rookie in overtime, picked it up and ran down the sideline for a touchdown to win the game. That was another super athletic play by Anthony Barr. So yeah, Anthony Barr's had a bunch of good plays. The social media reaction to Anthony Barr re-signing with the Vikings, Chrissy, how would you describe it?
So Barr put out a nice little Instagram yesterday. He said, "This is the happiest I've been in a while. It's been a long year and a half for me, but I always followed my heart and stayed true to myself. I owe it all to God, my family, and my friends. I'm happy to call Minnesota home for the foreseeable future. Can't wait to get back to work with the boys in a month or so. Vikings fans, we're going to do everything we can to make y'all proud and bring a ship to the Twin Cities Skull." I thought that was straight from the heart, and we wanted to share that with you guys because, obviously, he made a decision, realized it was the wrong decision, and went back on it and couldn't sleep that night, and he's where he wants to be, which you don't see in the NFL very often. Yep. Most of the times, these guys go where the money is.
I'm going to get on a little bit of a high horse here, and you can tell me to get down afterwards if
Sounds
you want.
Sounds good.
But the irony in what the Jets, you know, your description of Jets fans' reaction to Anthony Barr, and I get it, they're fans of the Jets. They don't care about anything else but the Jets, so they're pissed. I get it.
Yep.
Whatever, it's fine. But actually, you know, you should give Anthony credit for being, he wasn't, it's not cowardly to do what he did. It's actually brave.
Yep.
Because, you know, the way he described it was, you know, he sort of verbally to his agent, verbally committed to the Jets, to his agent, not to the
Never
Jets.
Never spoke to them, yep.
You know, and then I'm sure the agent communicated some form of that commitment to the Jets. And then, you know, then Anthony called his mom and said, "Mom, I think I made a mistake." And his mom said, "Well, you got to fix it then." That's brave to go then back on your word and fix the mistake and follow your heart. So anyway, that's the ironic part about one can criticize Anthony for the way this went, but I think you can also sort of praise him and look to Anthony as, you know, that's a good model to follow. Make sure you get it right.
The cover of the like New York Post article.
Oh my
was
gosh,
like,
what
he was
that?
Like, he said that he didn't want to marry the wrong woman.
And he
said the Jets were the wrong woman.
Yeah.
So.
I'm sure the tabloids had fun with that one.
They always do.
Yeah, Eric Kendricks, fellow Vikings linebacker Eric Kendricks, who played with Barr at UCLA, says, "Only right. Congrats, AB. Let's get it." Harrison Smith, what was his reaction?
This was a really good one. So there's the great Leonardo DiCaprio movie.
Yeah. Which one?
What's it called again when he's the stock?
Wolf of
Wall Street. That's right. And he gives that famous speech where he's like, "I'm not leaving."
Yeah.
"I'm not blank leaving."
Okay, that was Harrison Smith's message.
So Harrison Smith saw that tweet from some fan or whoever tweeted out that video saying, "This is Anthony Barr right now."
Mm-hmm.
And Anthony Barr said, "Donnie reaction right now."
Yeah.
Donnie was like his sidekick who like was pumping his fist in the background,
okay,
just getting all excited.
Well,
it's cool to see that.
Well, so this is, family member, podcast family member, Vikes Life. They do a good job of, you know, sort of analyzing social media stuff. This is something they should break down. They need to break
100%.
Down. 100%. I mean, they would have a lot of fun looking at Jets Twitter and Vikings Twitter, you know, compare and contrast their reactions to all of this.
I mean, you can talk for 10 hours on that
topic
right there.
We had a chance to catch up with former Vikings linebacker Chad Greenway on the line.
I think this was one of the best. I've been here for a lot. Most of the on the line interviews we've done: Adam Schefter, Michelle
Ross
Tafoya,
Tucker.
Ross Tucker. So many big names.
Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, Kirk Cousins was on vacation. It was awesome. But this was my favorite on the line interview.
Well, Chad Greenway had a lot to say because he's played with Anthony Barr. He's now been watching Anthony Barr, and he's been in the same situation that Anthony Barr was in. Drafted by the Vikings in the first round, have a great rookie contract, and set to hit free agency, but choose to come back. I mean, that's what Chad Greenway did. That's what Anthony Barr did, and Chad Greenway talked about it.
We found a way to get a guy to stay here when he probably could have made more money going somewhere else. Now, I know the financial terms are, I don't think they're 100% disclosed yet, what the Jets were offering, and we may never know that. But it feels like we got him for maybe a little bit less than what New York was offering, is kind of what the, you know, social media is saying. And just to know that I had spent some really good years with Anthony and played with him, and I feel like my perspective about the league kind of came across to him about what's important, what's valuable in that relationship with Coach Zimmer and, you know, Eric Kendricks and Adam Zimmer and our ownership. And I think that not always that grass is always greener mentality is always the right thing. Now, given you want to go out and you want to make money and have financial gain, but what really is going to be there at the end of the day when you're done with your career and you look back at it, you know, the money is great to have, and obviously it sets you up for life and your family up potentially for generations, but what do you stand for and who are you? And I think that loyalty shows through, and I'm so proud that he made that decision. I'm so proud the Vikings showed him that they love him, they want him here. And, you know, it's a guy that's been to, I think, what, a Pro Bowl every year he's been in the NFL. You know, it's amazing what he's done. And I'm just so proud of Anthony from where he came when he came in the NFL. You know, sort of like my little brother that I never had. And just so proud of him and the person he is and the stuff he's doing with his foundation. And I'm just so proud he's back with us.
Yeah, and good perspective there from Chad. We talked to Chad about some other things too, not just Anthony Barr. So if you missed that On the Line segment with Chad Greenaway, we recommend you click around Vikings.com or the Vikings app to check it out. All right, let's transition to bringing back Shamar Stephan, who's a defensive tackle. Vikings fans probably remember him, but for those who don't, he was a seventh-round draft pick of the Vikings in 2014, played in every game as a rookie, seventh-rounder, had a tackle in every game, was the only Vikings rookie that year to play in every game.
There you go.
So I think that, and he's a quiet guy. He's,
very quiet. We tried to get a good sound clip from him yesterday. It was kind of tough.
So
he admitted when he was up there for the press conference, he said, "This isn't really my thing. I don't love being up here talking in front of everybody." That's kind of how his play is on the field. You look at Linval, you look at Daniil, you look at all these guys he's played with, and you don't even realize the big man in the middle did a lot of that before he left us for Seattle last year. So that kind of describes the way he is on the field.
So you've got a seventh-round draft pick who does a lot of dirty work, plays in every game, and doesn't talk much. Do you think Zim likes that?
I think that's Zim's guy.
That's a Mike Zimmer type of guy. That is a Mike Zimmer type of guy. And we're going to get to some of Zim's reaction in a little bit. But first, we also had Shamar Stephan in the studio earlier this week.
That's right.
And one of the things we asked him when we were chatting with him was what it was like to be a member of the Seahawks and play against his former team, the Minnesota Vikings.
What do you remember about, you know, playing in front of Vikings fans and being in the building? It's loud and, you know, lining up with some of your teammates. You guys had some really good seasons defensively in your first stint with the Purple.
It was good. I mean, the fans are great. When they do the skull chant, it's something that you will never, ever be able to experience anywhere else. And, I mean, the fans are just great for us and for the players to just ball out.
You know, you spent some time with the Seahawks, and obviously you played in front of that's a great fan base too, and Seattle's got a loud home field advantage, so you're used to that. But when the Vikings came into CenturyLink Field toward the end of last season, what was that like for you? I mean, I remember, you know, pregame and coming up and saying hi to you, and I'm sure that happened to you time and time again pregame where you were saying hi to familiar faces. What was it like playing against your former team?
It was like seeing family, you know. It's like coming back and seeing guys you worked with and played with and, I mean, you went to battle with every day. So it was a good time seeing everybody, and it was fun playing against a place I used to play for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we always do five things to know about the signing or this draft pick, right?
Yep.
I think, if I'm not mistaken, didn't we do five things to remember about Shamar?
Yeah, we did five things to remember about old Vikings,
I mean,
Shamar Stephan.
Right, I like that.
You guys ate it up, so that was good.
Did they? Vikings fans love that?
They
love it. Yeah, they should. So make sure you go check that out. Lots of good articles by our writers, Craig Peters, Eric Smith, and Lindsey Young. You can go and read five things to remember about Shamar Stephan, who attended what university, Chris?
UConn.
Yeah.
I've been there a decent amount. It's a good, nice little campus.
I think he was like the first player from UConn the Vikings drafted since like 1971.
That would make sense. Yeah. It's not a known football program, but Some good basketball teams. Been through a few of those games. Shout out one of my best friends, Billy. Good spot.
What up, Billy? Zimmer loves Anthony Barr. That much is clear. And now everyone realizes that Zimmer loves Shamar Stephan. And so here is the Vikings head coach talking about how those two guys will always be Zimmer guys.
For guys like them to come in here and be able to be with us for maybe their entire career is something that we really look forward to. You know, with Anthony, I can walk up to him and we speak the same language and say, hey, you know, when they're in this formation or this personnel group, and half the time he'll answer me before I even get it out. That's just the way he is. He's a great football player, outstanding ability, great leader in the locker room, and really, you know, everything about him is the way he practices, the way he prepares, the way he goes about his business each and every day. And, you know, so I'm just really excited to have him. And then, you know, Shamar is a guy that really we used to call him Big Fundamental when he was here because he did everything right. He worked hard. He helped in the running game. He worked every single day on his craft of trying to rush the passer. And they're both great people. And, you know, and that's kind of the type of players that we're trying to get here. Great people, good players that want to learn, get better, be great people in the locker room, and help each other get better. So it's really a great day for me to be able to get these two guys back. They'll always be Vikings, and they'll always be Zim guys. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I got. That's one thing we got to with Anthony Barr in our interview with him at Inside TCO Studios. I was like, dude, Zim's got such high standards. He's won a Super Bowl. He knows what it takes to win a Super Bowl. He's run good defenses his whole career, and he's calling you one of his guys.
That's about as good of a compliment as you can get from Mike Zimmer.
Dang, man. Yeah, so that's got to be pretty cool. Now, as you can tell from this breakdown on the Wobcast and from your own observations, watching stuff unfold in the National Football League, it's been a crazy, hectic, busy 48, 72, 96 hours for the Vikings front office. A group, of course, led by general manager Rick Spielman. He took the podium early, or actually before Zim and Anthony Barr and everyone else did, and he sort of spoke about that and what life's been like in the front office for the Vikings here in the first week of free agency.
It's a very stressful 48 hours. In fact, the free agency period is, I can't wait till next week when I can get on the road and start doing pro days and get ready to get prepared for the draft. But it's the fun part of the job, too. And it's like you're holding your breath. I know that night, Monday night, Rob Brzezinski, George Payton actually slept here. I was like, I've got enough energy to go home. So I went home, got about 4 hours of sleep that night before I came back. But it's exciting. And it's very exciting when you're able to get an Anthony Barr back. And it's also, but that's what makes this profession so unique, is because there's the highs are the highs and the lows are the lows. There's no in-between or in the middle of anything. So you roll with it. And we were fortunate that we ended up in a very high note.
Yeah, I mean, That is a good way to put it. You know, life in the NFL, the highs and the lows. That's really what it is, man.
Absolutely.
It's a zero-sum game on Sunday. If you have a noon game on Sunday at 3:30, it's
either
high
win
or low.
Or you lose.
It's
it.
It's high or low, man. That's it. You know, and same thing when the regular season's over. It doesn't matter if you're 4-12 or 8-7-1. You don't miss the playoffs. It feels the same. You know, you make the playoffs as an 8-8 team, or you know, as a 13-3 team, like you made the playoffs and you're on a high, and that is life in the NFL. So,
and we went from not having Anthony Barr to having Anthony Barr.
Yeah,
so
pretty
we'll
crazy.
Take it.
So a hectic, busy, crazy first week of free agency for the Vikings and for the entire National Football League. Let's recap a little bit some non-Viking stuff for those folks who like to kind of keep a pulse on the rest of the league, which I know a lot of you listening do. Let's kind of recap the NFC North and some other things that happened in the league and free agency.
Start with the Lions. They really went, and first year for Matt Patricia last year was not successful for the team. Obviously, they finished down in the NFC North, but they went out and signed some Patriots. They signed some some good players. They re-signed one of their players. We'll start with defensive end Trey Flowers, who was a big part of that Super Bowl winning New England Patriots team last year. He got a huge contract, multi-year. Cornerback Justin Coleman they signed, and tight end Jesse James from the Pittsburgh Steelers will now join Matt Patricia and that team. That's a big signing, as well as the signing of another former Patriot wide receiver, Danny Amendola, who was a big part of that team. Last year he was with the Miami Dolphins, and now he will be in the NFC North. So big-time signings for the Detroit Lions. They also brought back Eagan native Zach Zenner, who's a running back for the team. He does a little bit of blocking back there as well. So, and they released guard T.J. Lang. So who knows? Maybe keep an eye out on T.J. Lang. He'll be a notable free agent there now at offensive line. So a lot of moves for the Detroit Lions this offseason.
Yeah, and they're obviously a team that was in the cellar of the NFC North last year, and so they'll be looking to change that.
Yep.
It's going to be a tough road to hoe for them, because I think the NFC North is going to be really, really good. And with the Bears obviously being the reigning division champions, the Packers looking to rebound from a disappointing year in which they fired their coach and Rodgers was hurt again. And, of course, the Vikings, we're familiar with them. So that's a really good division. Let's stay in the NFC North, though, and finish up sort of review of the division with Packers and Bears quickly. What you got on those two teams?
Yeah, the Packers, they made some signings. Signed safety Adrian Amos, linebacker Preston Smith, linebacker Za'Darius Smith from the Baltimore Ravens, and they signed Billy Turner, a guard/tackle who can kind of play a bunch of positions on the offensive line. They did release their linebacker Nick Perry, which is pretty notable, and released linebacker Anthony Morrison. So new group over there. They're making some changes. They're adding some depth to their linebacker position. There's a lot of moves that were made there by the Packers.
Yeah, I'd be curious to see what happens to Nick Perry in free agency, if he's a guy who slides for a while or if he gets picked up right away. Also, it'd be interesting to see what the Packers do with Clay Matthews.
That's for sure.
With these additions
he's
at
a
linebacker.
He's a free agent right
made.
Now, right?
Oh, is he? Okay,
yeah.
So his contract expired. Okay, so we'll see what happens with him. Okay, the Bears, they've been busy.
Yeah, the Bears have been big-time busy. This is probably as busy as any NFC North team. Haha, Clinton Dix, the former Packer, signs with the Bears.
Mm-hmm.
He will stay in the NFC North. Wide receiver Cordarrelle Patterson, we all know Flash here with the Vikings. Mm-hmm. He has now signed with the Bears after winning a Super Bowl there in New England. Cornerback Buster Skrine, he was a former Cleveland Brown as well as New York Jet.
Mm-hmm.
He adds depth to that cornerback position. And what about running back Mike Davis?
Interesting.
Signs with the team. They have a lot of running backs there, and he just adds to the depth. He can catch the ball out of the backfield. Really good player there out of the backfield. And then O-lineman Ted Larson signs a one-year contract with the team. So, man, they've made some of the other moves not as big, but they've made a lot of moves to really add a gadget player like Cordarrelle Patterson. We all know that team likes little players who they can do a ton of things with and design plays for Mitchell Trubisky. I think Cordarrelle is going to really add a good returner to the team as well as on offense. This team is going to be good next year.
Yeah.
I really do believe so.
Okay, as we were talking about that, I jotted down a few things that stood out to me for the rest of the league outside the NFC North and free agency. I'm going to run through them before we get to fan mail. So, Chrissy, you can get fan mail ready to go. I think we got three of them. But some things that have stood out to me in the first week of the new league year in the NFL. Antonio Brown being traded to the Oakland Raiders. I think that's a big deal. The Raiders obviously making a lot of moves under new GM Mike Mayock. Cleveland making a lot of big moves.
That's right.
Your AFC team, it appears, Chrissy. Cleveland and the Giants making a couple of big trades.
OBJ.
Olivier Vernon goes from the Giants to the Browns. Odell Beckham Jr. goes from the Giants to the Browns. Of course, Kareem Hunt is there. He's a new addition this offseason for them. He's suspended for the first half of the regular season, but he'll join that team. So the Browns making a lot of big moves. Latavius Murray leaves the Vikings via free agency, signs with the New Orleans Saints. The Honey Badger, a player I've liked for a long time.
Great player.
I'm not the
player.
Only one. A lot of people like him. But the Honey Badger is a fun player to watch. He goes from the Texans to the Chiefs. Roger Saffold, a popular name in Vikings Nation this offseason for offensive line additions, goes to the Tennessee Titans. So their strong offensive line gets even stronger. And Earl Thomas. A lot of people thinking he might go to the Dallas Cowboys. No, he goes to the Baltimore Ravens. So Eric Weddle leaves the Ravens. Earl Thomas joins the Ravens.
Yeah.
Two really good safeties. And the Ravens, of course, love their safeties. They had Ed Reed for a long time. Earl Thomas joins the Baltimore Ravens. All right. Last thing, fan mail.
Fan mail. Let's do it. First one from Jeff Kilty. We know Jeff. He's a big-time emailer.
Sacramento, California.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Winning starts from the top down. It's so difficult to win without an ownership structure that supports a winning culture. GM Spielman and Coach Zimmer have each said ownership has never said no to a request. As fans, we see it in precedent-setting contracts, trend-setting facilities, and a team built to win. Can you describe how you, players, team staff, management, value what the Wilfs bring to you and the fan experience goal?
Yeah, I mean, he's right. There's no doubt about it. I've never been part of another ownership structure in pro sports. I mean, I started with the Vikings in 2005, which is the year the Wilfs bought the team. And I mean, at every step along the way for me, all I've seen is the Wilfs continue to invest in the franchise, whether it's a new stadium, whether it's personnel, whether it's, you know, the promotion of guys like Kevin Warren and Rick Spielman and many others within the organization.
What about the brand new studio that we have here?
The studio we have here, the practice facility, the stadium, hosting a Super Bowl. It's just it's continuous. All it is continuous investing in the franchise. And I don't, you know, I think there's a lot of things we can debate in sports and in Vikings Nation. We can debate a lot of different things. The thing you cannot debate is the Wilfs' commitment to making the Vikings a championship caliber and first-class organization. They've done that from the start, and it's continued through this first week of free agency. So I think Jeff's hit on a good point. I agree with him, and I don't think it's hard to see.
Second one from Seattle, Washington, Paul Pecuconis. Is that how you say it?
Yeah, well, let's go with Paul P. Paul from Seattle emails every week.
Paulie P.
Yeah.
Though I'm a lifelong and unwavering Vikings fan, I am struggling with the organization paying bar on this new contract. Considering our salary cap issues, I don't feel it was prudent with a few other needs on the team. Our running back stable is depleted with Murray gone, and Cook has not yet proven to be healthy, and our O-line needs have been well discussed. We have a need for an upgrade at wide receiver 3. It never hurts to have more pass rush. Wow, we need everything. And please tell me where I am missing it.
Well, I'm not going to say Paul's missing anything or is wrong. You can't solve all that in the first 3 days of free agency. And I get what he's saying. He's saying our defense is awesome. We can afford to let a guy go and use those resources to get someone else. But you got to be careful with free agency, man. There's a lot of fool's gold out there. And I just think there is so much value to re-signing a guy that you know is already good and is already a good fit with your team. And that's Anthony Barr. That's Eric Kendricks. That's Linval Joseph. That's Danielle Hunter, Everson Griffin, Harrison Smith, Xavier Rhodes. All these guys the Vikings have drafted or signed and then re-signed because they know that they're good fits. They know that they can help us win. And when you throw a bunch of money at a guy who's coming from another team, you never really know if that guy's going to be a good fit. It doesn't mean you shouldn't do it. There's lots of examples of really good free agent signings. But the crazy part is, if I'm going to go through my mind and go back and think about some of the good free agent signings that the Vikings have had, a lot of them are not done in the first week of free agency. A lot of them are second tier and third tier guys.
Very true.
Tom Johnson is a really good example of that. Like do you think, like, Aldrick Robinson was a good fit, right?
Absolutely.
We got him after the season started.
Absolutely.
So,
first couple catches were touchdown passes.
And,
so.
Yeah, and I don't want to call out any players from other teams, or any other teams for what they're doing in free agency, because they're doing what they think is best for them, and sometimes it works out. But here's what happens: you get a guy on the market that you got to sign. And you sign him, and he's going to be like the highest paid player at his position, right? Because he's on the free agent market. He's the best one available, so you got to pay him top dollar.
Yep.
But if every player at that position in the league was released, that same guy would not be the highest paid player at his position.
Yep.
But you're paying him as the highest paid player at his position right now. So that, to me, is, you know, that's a red flag where you got to be really careful about that. So I like that the Vikings are using the cash and cap space on their own guys, because it tells me that they're going to fill holes and build through the draft. And I think that's the way to do it. And in fact, before free agency started, what did we hear from fans about offensive line? Do what the Colts did. Why aren't we doing what the Colts did?
Yep.
What's that?
Draft them.
Draft them, right? So now I'm hearing, because we're not signing them in free agency, now I'm hearing fans who are like, why aren't we signing these free agent offensive linemen? Well, I thought you wanted us to draft them.
Yep. And we've seen that in the past. We've went out and signed Alex Boone, Andre Smith, Mike Remmers.
It's just tough.
So you built through the draft. We have two solid guys that we got through the draft that will be starters next year, most likely, and Pat Elflein in the middle, and Brian O'Neill last year, who did a great job at tackle. So you'll probably see him at right tackle. And then, of course, we still have Riley Reiff on the left side. So that interior line we'll look to fill with some of these players that have been on the roster, younger players, but also through the draft. And who knows, maybe a guy like TJ Lang is willing to come for a bargain.
And look, I mean, Tom Johnson, Captain Munnerlin, Latavius Murray, Kirk Cousins.
Linval Joseph.
Free agent signings who were
Terrence
productive.
Terrence Newman.
Fine with all that.
Yep.
You can get good players in free agency. I'm not saying to not be players in the market at all. I'm just saying buyer beware in free agency. Fool's gold is out there. Build through the draft. Supplement via free agency.
Hot take.
Okay, question number three.
Sorry, getting in trouble. So glad that Anthony Barr is staying with the Vikings. Really,
me too.
Really seems like he is one of the cornerstones of the defense and has a knack for making game-changing plays in the big moments. Josh Gilbert at JoshGilb13.
JG, my man, Josh Gilbert. He's got it right. I'm glad Anthony Barr is back too. And you know what else about the Barr signing? You know where else it helps you? In the locker room.
Yep.
Right?
Him and Eric Kendricks have a bond that is like no other.
Barr was a draft pick, a productive player, became a team leader, and has now been given money for producing. That is a good message to send to the rest of your locker room.
I agree.
And that's another benefit to this signing. It's more intangible. It's more emotional and philosophical than it is, you know, a hard fact or something you can see, but I still think it's true. So, all right, I think we've done enough damage for this edition of the Wobcast, and we've talked about a lot, and we got to be going on like close to an hour. So anyone still listening, I mean, congratulations and thank you very much.
37 minutes.
Okay, 37 minutes. That's pretty good. All right, so that's a recap of the first week of free agency for the Minnesota Vikings. Probably going to be a busy weekend, so there'll be more to talk about next week. We hope you join us then. Until that time, make sure you stay tuned to Vikings.com and the Vikings app to stay on top of all things purple over the weekend. Our thanks to everyone who joined us for this edition of the Wobcast, and my thanks to Chrissy for producing and co-hosting so well as he always does. That's going to do it for today. Have a good weekend, everyone. Skol Vikings.